Hello everyone, it's Chris Chico and Gary Boomershine, and I want to welcome everyone to today's weekly huddle call. This is the first one of the year, and the purpose of the call is just to have a discussion of meaningful topics. It could be deal questions, answer questions about marketing, about anything in general. So it's definitely a good time for us to chat. If you have any questions about Podio, your mailing campaigns, or want to make any sort of technical changes, as always, best to email support@salesteamlive.com. support@salesteamlive.com. We're scheduled to have this call here for an hour. It could be shorter, depending on the number of questions. In order to raise your hand to ask questions or open for discussion, it would be to hit *5 on your phone. *5 will raise your hand. And *5 will also lower your hand. And a couple email addresses, again, support@salesteamlive for anything related to your campaigns, changes you need to make. DealHelp@reivolt.com. That email goes directly to me and Gary, so that if you have any questions about any of your deals, then you can certainly send them there and always include any information you can, including Podio reports or anything else like that. So this is the first call of the year, Gary. I know you and I have been traveling, so I was going to mention a couple of things, but maybe you could say hello, and you have maybe some things you wanted to cover before we open up the call.
Sure. Welcome, everybody, to beginning of 2016 and heading into, hopefully, for everybody, a very good year. One little note, because I see a few of you that are new to reivolt.com, I just want to reiterate a couple things that Chris said. You can email anytime that you have anything that you need from the technical in nature, marketing, Podio, anything. You can actually email support@salesteamlive.com or support@reivolt.com. We actually both go to the same place, and you're always surveyed 24 hours after our team responds and closes and hopefully give you exactly what you need in clear communication. You'll always be surveyed. We do ask, the survey is simple. It just says, did the team handle and provide you exactly what you needed in a timely manner? It allows you to say yes or no. It's really good or bad. And any feedback that you have, we do, we monitor that very closely. The service that we have, we're working towards zero errors and clear communication and high touch. So we love your feedback. I know that you do get a lot of emails because we're sending out mailings and you're getting a lot of stuff. But if you do ask anything that you need from the team, we'd love to know your feedback, your honest feedback, and any suggestions that you have. But, you know, Chris and I are using this team, this shared team, just like you guys are. And your feedback is highly appreciated, and that's how we improve everything that we do. With that, again, for the new people, we keep this muted just so there's no background noise. So if you have a question, just press *5 on your phone, and Chris and I will see that, and we'll bring you into the call. And when there's no more questions, really, we just end the call. And so whenever you want, you can press *5. Let's see, Chris, you actually went to I just got back. I was in Hawaii last week. My wife and I, we have a rental property in Maui, and we had a kitchen remodel. We got a brand-new kitchen out of the deal because there was a flood above us, and the condo association covered a brand-new kitchen, which was great. We had a that was the one thing that we needed to get done, and so we ended up getting a new kitchen remodel. So my wife and I went over there and got it back in order and furnishings, et cetera, and had a little bit of a vacation. So I'm just getting back today. And let's see, what else do I have, Chris? I think that's pretty much it. My one update, we're working on a deal, the one kind of creative deal that I've got going right now out of the other. The other deals are all wholesale flips, but I mentioned at the end of last year that I've been working on a deal in Fort Collins, and it's looking real good. I think we found a buyer, Chris. We got an all-cash buyer. We picked up a property I actually bought it subject to, so I just took over the mortgage, and the seller's carrying back a zero interest note until we resell the property, which is pretty awesome. So we'll probably have about $15,000 in total expenses, and we should net somewhere in the 120, you know, low side 100, probably somewhere in 120,000 a net profit, and as high as 150. We actually are listing that property on the MLS, but it's a pocket listing with a really, really good broker in that area that knows the market real well. And we got it looks like we got an all cash offer that's over asking right now. So at least that's the latest. So I'll keep everybody posted on that. It's kind of an interesting one. The scenario on the deal, if you want more information, I was kind of walking through this a couple weeks ago, but it's three parcels. There's a house, and then there's two vacant lots that are zoned in an area that's up and coming in Fort Collins. And if we were going to do this as a wholesale deal, we wouldn't have made a lot of money. And so it was an opportunity to talk creatively with the seller. Seller had his kids living in the house, and so we made a creative offer to the guy. And I actually flew out to Phoenix to meet with the seller and get the paperwork signed myself. But it's looking pretty good. So if any of you have questions on it, I'd be more than happy to kind of walk through the structure. But at some point, once we get this deal across the goal line, maybe I'll put some slides together and walk. Because I know a lot of you are just doing all cash offers, and a lot of people have been asking for more creative strategies. This is pretty creative. Chico, I don't have any other updates.
Yeah, on my end, I was at an event. Some of you may recognize the name, Russ Whitney. He owned at one point a seminar company. He was doing got up to a revenue of $200 million a year in the seminar company, as well as a few other businesses. And so this was a seminar that I attended. It was kind of by personal invite. It was a free event, but you had to pay your way, et cetera. So people there from all over the world, actually, it's about 85 people. And it wasn't about real estate, although he was involved with real estate, but it was about his kind of process and tips and strategies on scaling businesses. And so he, he took the real estate company to $200 million. And during that same time, he was involved in a variety of different projects. I think at one point he was the third largest home builder in Florida during the bust, before the boom, while the boom was going on. And so it was interesting because he had his hands in a lot of different businesses. And so it was really about him and scaling. And he had quite a few people there. He had his attorney, the asset protection attorney, Kevin Harrington, was there, who him and Kevin are very good friends. Another infomercial guy, his executive coach that helped him in a variety of different businesses. And so there was nobody there selling per se. So if I could maybe think about some of the big takeaways from there, is he talked about that every business has an optimal business template. So in every business, you might have the right business opportunity, but you might be applying the wrong template to it. And so it's a combination of identifying the right opportunities and right businesses and applying, the right template to that business. His business back in the seminar days was, the model of the free event and then pitching people on the next event after that, et cetera. He also talked about at every juncture in his businesses, and his story was that he got his business up to $60 million a year, and then after that, he hit a roadblock. So every business, he says, is different. Every business has its own kind of threshold where, you start a business, you identify a business model, you get that profitable, and then at some point now you hit a block where you are not able to scale that business anymore. And what was interesting is in every case, the process to scaling the business was to include corporate structure and everything that a big corporation does in terms of accountability, forecasting, budgeting, and everything, and bringing that into the business. And so it was interesting because many times as an entrepreneur, you come into whether it be real estate investing or any sort of business, and you come into it with the anticipation or the desire to leave that corporate, you know, kind of structure, because you want to be free, you want to be an entrepreneur. But at some stage, that same structure is the same thing that frees you up as the business owner to do other things and to have the business run on its own. So that was one of the key things that I, you know, I'm just kind of, I had notes of, I had 2 days worth of notes, but these were the one thing he talked about. He also talked about, you know, he always looks at 3 to 5 year goals, but in the end, he says the 3 to 5 year goals in his mind, they're kind of just kind of guessing. He says when it all comes down to it, he just looks at the 1 year goal, then he takes that 1 year goal, breaks it down to the monthly, breaks it down to the weekly, and then, you know, puts a forecasting and budget process in place so he can kind of monitor the results, et cetera. But he's a big fan of that 1 year. You know, you have the 3 to 5 year out, but the shorter time span, the 1 year, is really when everything gets done. They had a big discussion about culture, and it was interesting because a lot of times, especially when you're just starting out, you don't think about culture. One of the things that, but you know, for in his building of the companies, there was a point in time where culture became the driving force. And it always reminds me about a statement that there's a guy by the name of Victor Cheng, who was a McKinsey consultant out of, I forgot where he was from, but he was McKinsey consultant, which is one of the big multinational consulting firms. And one of the things I've read from him, I'm a big fan of his books. He had mentioned, hey, how does a CEO manage a company, like say Microsoft, that's 200,000 employees, whatever number of employees, how do you manage that? How do you make sure people are doing what they're doing? And what Victor Cheng's response was, it's always about culture, because culture is that adhesiveness that drives people to act in a particular way, to do things in a particular way. And so, you know, that concept was resonated throughout the event. The other thing, a speaker by the name of Laurel Langmire was there, and she was there mostly kind of on the info side. Just her perspective in terms of what she does for information marketing and et cetera. She did say something that I thought was interesting, or a different perspective in looking at things. She said she made a comment regarding opportunities, right? So we all have a variety of opportunities that we get, that come across our desks, perhaps things that we look at and we think, well, gee, that might be a great opportunity to go after. And she says that, you know, she and her belief is that, and this is just, again, I'm reiterating what she said, but I thought it was insightful. She says that most of the time people just say no, 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 and she's of the mindset of saying yes. And he says the difference is that the way she looks at it is, she says the big problem is not that you're saying no to opportunities. It's the problem is that you're saying no because you think that you are the one that actually has to do the work. And that she believes that you say more often, but with the eye and the lens that you say, and instead of asking, you know, you ask instead. You say yes to that opportunity, but instead you ask, who is going to do the work? Because it's not going to be you, right? So it's just a different perspective in that you might say no to an opportunity, but if you look at it from the perspective, okay, I can say yes to that if I get the right people, the right structure in place, then maybe that might have you look at that opportunity a little bit differently. So that came from Laurel. And, you know, Russ's, one of the things he talked about is that, you know, when he was there trying to build his business, he was in this warrior phase. And the warrior phase is where, you know, he was out there working 15, 16, 18 hours a day and just really pulling out all the stops. And in his mind, he needed to go out and to push and to kind of be in that warrior type of mentality, I think, that we all kind of hear about, you know, people sleeping 4 hours a day, et cetera. And he said that, you know, once those businesses died down, he took some time off, 2 years to kind of find himself. And he went through and he went on a spiritual journey. He went all kind of, you know, not just one religion, but just, you know, a lot of different people. And he came back and he wrote a book. He wrote a book called Inner Voice. He gave us a copy of that. And he said that what he found is that he distilled everything that he learned and the way he was running his businesses, and almost like, okay, well, how could I do it differently? in a way so that I wouldn't be in that warrior phase where I would be a better person if I was starting brand new. So he wrote that book called The Inner Voice, and he actually gave it to us, but he said that he says, you know, you're all here today to learn tactics and to learn strategies and how to grow your businesses. But if I would start one place before anything else, he says, I would start with the book I gave you, because that book distilled kind of is me coming back and saying, if I were to do it all over again, how would I think, how would I operate, and how would I see things differently, and how, and to enable me to have a much better journey, perhaps easier, perhaps more fulfilling journey that I had in the past. And so I started to go through the book. I do find it interesting. I just started. So the book is called Inner Voice, and it's by Russ Whitney. And he talks about his kind of, I don't want to get into it, but that was the, that was, you know, and it was also the last thing I was going to say is that, you know, I always talk about perspective. And what was interesting in that seminar is that, is the people that were there. On average, the people that were there, the average size of the business was $2,000, $2 million. But, you know, there were people there that I was talking to at the bar, and they were, had a business that was making $40-50 million, right? There was a couple people there that had businesses that was sold for $35 million, you know? One of the speakers had a couple businesses that were sold for that much money, and now he lived in, he actually flew because he's a friend, they did over Skype because he was a friend of Russ, and, you know, he's living in a $8 million house in LA. So it's interesting because all of a sudden now you're around these people, and I think, just think it forces you to think differently, maybe to think bigger, to maybe have a different perspective on things. And so, it was just interesting. It just kind of, for me, solidified the fact that, you know, hey, you want to hang around people that are doing bigger things, that are thinking in different ways, because that in and of itself is going to elevate you, and it's going to cause you to, you know, to just have greater success, just because now you have, I just think it's, you know, the rising tide raises all boats. But I think that those were, I think, looking at things, my quick notes here, those are the big takeaways that I had. Here's one last thing.
Let me ask you something. I think it's, all this is totally relevant to all of us. You know, it could be, you know, you could stand back saying, "Oh, I don't care about Russ Whitney," and I don't care about the event that you went to, Chris. But I will say, I think it's totally relevant because it doesn't matter where we are. There's always a stuck that you have, and Chris and I have found it in the different stages of the business, and also talking to people in the REI Vault group, that there's typically a stuck somewhere to get to that first $100,000 a year in profit, right? And it's usually around just learning the business and having the initial win. And then there's, you know, you get to the $250,000 to $300,000 a year mark, and it's usually a people issue because you can do it pretty much on your own. And then in order to grow, you know, you lose control. You're working, you know, 100-hour weeks. Everything's a fire drill. You've got no life, right? And then you get to the next level, which is really around the $1 million mark, then the $2 million mark, and then the $10 million mark, and then, as Russ said, the $60 million mark. Chico and I are actually, you know, we're at the business level where both of us have been highly, highly engaged in trying to get to the next level in some of our businesses. We're following a model called Traction. It's the system is actually called EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating System. And I would strongly encourage everybody, I don't care where you are, if you're running into any sort of stumbling blocks or stucks in your own business, I would go buy not only the book that you mentioned, Chris, but also Traction, and Rocket Fuel. Traction was, written by Gino Wickman. In fact, I put a book review, it's like a 12-page summary. And if you go to reivault.com/traction, in fact, I just posted it about 3 minutes ago, but reivault.com/traction is a short summary of the whole book. It's actually pretty good. It says, if you're like most entrepreneurs, you're probably experiencing one or more of the five common frustrations: lack of control, people, profit, the ceiling, or nothing's working. and then the process to go through. And I bet, Chris, I knew you and I have chatted about the event, but the stuff that you said, all the commonalities of how people broke through their particular stuff to get to the next level were all about the same. And it had to do with crazy amount of focus and planning and then getting the right people in place. Would you agree with that? Of having the right plan.
Structure, the right structure.
If you're always, always running on fire, your business is really never going to go anywhere. And you're never going to get out of that stuck. And there's actually a process that even Chris and I are doing it right now. So anyway, I'll let you finish up, Chris, but I would also make sure to, you can go out to reivault.com/traction. It's just a book review, and I think it might be real helpful. We're implementing the system, and then the whole scorecarding of how we scorecard the business. I do think it's relevant to all of us. So anyway, I'll just add those.
The other thing, 100% agree with you with what you said. One other thing that I thought was interesting is it was regarding delegation. I just thinking about something else that delegation in terms of I was having this conversation with someone and they said this is what they said. They said stop doing what you can pay someone $15 an hour to do. We all know that. We've heard that before. If you can delegate your what you're doing to a low labor cost. The one thing I thought was interesting in the way they said it is also price. I thought it was interesting. I don't know. I'm not sure this would apply to us here specifically, but it's a different way of thinking of things that perhaps may kind of generate some other ideas. He says price your services on what you do that someone else for $15 an hour can do, but it's not you. So let's say as an example that if I have a service that I'm going to offer to someone and I price that service in a way so that I'm pricing it so that only I can do it, right? Because I'm saying that I'm going to deliver this amazing thing and only I can deliver that. Or you can deliver the service that then you are able to still offer the high quality service or product, but you're able to delegate it to a lower level of cost. Right, so it may not be exactly as you would have delivered it if it was just you, but you're still delivering it in a way so that the customer appreciates it. It's a solid value, pricing, proposition-wise, et cetera, but yet it's done and priced in a way so that somebody else could do it, not you. And so I'm not really sure, Gary, I think about when I was doing, maybe this is how I thought about it. See, when I was doing coaching before for real estate investors, personal coaching, I'm not doing that anymore. But if I took my offer and I priced it in a way so that they would only be able to get the value only if I was personally involved in that whole entire process step by step, or maybe I priced it in a way so that it wasn't necessarily me. Maybe it was people on my team that made the delivery of the product, et cetera. Then the customer still gets what they want, but I'm able to operate in a way that I can get other people in my business to do the work and allow me to, again, be the business owner versus not be the business owner. I've heard that before, but sometimes you hear the same thing different ways and you kind of come up with a different perspective. But that was the last thing that I came up with that in terms of that.
Another way to do it is always build your model, right? The real estate business.
Yeah.
Flipping business, always build the model to take yourself out of the middle of the model day one. So the very first thing, right, and a lot of you on this call, you already have a staff, right? But let's just say you're kind of in that early, the first 100,000 or 150,000 of profit in your business, and you're doing everything, right? The very first role is somebody to qualify, set appointments, and follow up with leads, right? It's a high value, but you could get somebody at less than $15 an hour, $20 an hour to do that deal, that piece, right? So that would be one of the first things that you do because it's a money-making activity. And the way that you pay for it is make sure that you make an extra $1,000 per deal, right? and get yourself out of it, because your highest and best use is not going to be doing that role, and you can get somebody else that can be full time.
Yeah.
And the second role at a higher value would be the acquisition piece, right? An acquisition / sales manager that can make the offers and close the deal and find the buyers, and right? So that, and then the next level is, as you're starting to grow, it would be a transaction coordinator. And then the next role would be, you know, a manager of the sales team, so you can expand into multiple markets, right? If you're going to go up to $750 to $1 million in profit, you may have to go into a couple markets, depending upon your business model, right? But always build from day one, and actually always recruit. You should always be recruiting. Chico and I are doing that constantly. And, you know, and I think that you can find inexpensive resources to do the front end, talking to sellers, talking to the leads, you know, qualifying them through a script. It's pretty easy to get done. And then the acquisition manager, I like realtors. At some point, Chris, we should spend more time on that. But realtors are great because they already work for commission. So typically, like Chris and I don't pay, you know, an hourly rate to an acquisition manager. You know, we give them a cut of the profits. And realtors already work, and they're experts. Like I have Erin in one of my markets, and she's fantastic. I mean, the other thing is always try to hire somebody that's better than you are at that particular job. So, you know, if you're not very good on the phone, or even if you are good on the phone with the seller, you really want to find somebody that actually is better at it than you for that particular role.
Yeah.
And be willing to fire quickly. You know, don't keep somebody on your team for more than 60 days. It should be very, very simple. Structure it on the front end of exactly, I would never hire somebody without you putting at least one page job description of exactly what they're going to be doing, and having that on the front end. Don't just go hire. It's a huge mistake. If you have, spend the extra 1 hour to write up that job description and be reviewing that and be willing to fire and replace. That was a mistake I learned, you know, a few years ago. When I, you know, you keep somebody around because they sort of fill the job. Be willing to fire and replace and constantly be recruiting. I'm actually working, Bank of America has got this kid who is wicked smart. He's really good on customer service. And I'm recruiting him for the real estate business because I think he'd be really good on the phone. And then I give him an opportunity for 60 days and then fire him if he doesn't do a good job. So anyway, I know Chris and I have been going off here for a while. Don't know if it's relevant for you guys or if you're getting value. If you have a question, you can press *5 and we can answer questions, or we can keep kind of talking on this particular topic. But if you have a question, press *5 and we'll bring you onto the call. You can ask the question, and it can be related to real estate, a deal, complicated deal, whatever it is that you want to talk about today.
So as we, I don't think we have anybody else. I was going to mention one other thing. You know, another thing that this is unrelated to the seminar. So as we come into the year, I mean, if anybody has questions, hit *5, but oh, there it goes. We'll take this, and I'll say what I was going to say maybe after the question, if nobody else has a question. Why don't we do that?
Okay.
This is with, yeah, I'm going to select it. Steve.
Hey, guys. Glad to talk
hey.
To you again. I hope you had some productive time off. So.
Yes.
Yeah, sounds like it. So, hey, we are, I'm implementing EOS in my office as well. And we're just kind of in the beginning stages of it and getting people acclimated to the idea. And I've got a small office. There's three of us in there on a regular basis, or four of us on a regular basis, about to hire one, possibly two more. So, This is not up my alley, implementing this kind of stuff and creating culture and everything like that, but I know it's got to be done. And so because it's not something I enjoy doing, it's not getting done fast enough. So I'm thinking about hiring an EOS type coach, and I don't know if you guys have experimented in that arena or looked at folks to guide you through the process, or even if I'm
Steve,
just being,
Steve,
you know,
Steve, we actually hired Randy. So remember the guy that spoke at CG in front of us?
Yes. Yeah.
So we actually hired him. So and we're implementing that model with Randy. It's a little pricey.
Right.
I will tell you, so Chris and I are implementing EOS for multiple businesses. And and so we're starting with the REI Vault model and going through all those materials. I'll send you and I can actually post the documents that I think would be helpful. You may already have them, but I'll give them to you anyway, and I'll post them on REI Vault. There's a vision.
Good.
There's a simple vision tracker. The real, and I, which it's the same document we did for everybody that's on this call. Steve is in a mastermind with Chris and I called the Collective Genius. You got to be doing at least 50 deals a year, and there's about 110 of us. And I think there's maybe 15 people from the Collective Genius that are REI in REI Vault as well. But there's a vision tracker. It's a two-page document. I think it's absolutely essential, but it's really around your 3-year plan and 5-year plan, gets you thinking about what is your revenue going to be. I don't think for us in the real estate business, I think a 3-year plan is fine. You go out 5 and 10 years, and core values and sort of your rocks, your big rocks. And then there's a scorecard of how you, the specific metrics in your business that you're going to measure. And then a level 10 meeting. A level 10 meeting is you get your managers on the phone once a week and the process of what you go through. It's incredibly effective. So we're implementing that whole thing with REI Vault, and we're also doing it as a template on the real estate side. And then our goal is to roll that out and automate it in Podio. So, and be able to add that as a component. And we're kind of slating March or April. Most likely it'll be April with some additional help on how we did that. But I think it's, we're all building a business, right?
Yeah.
And there's a hiring component and then a managing component. And I actually think you could find somebody super inexpensive that could manage. It's the implementer. In the book Traction or Rocket Fuel, there is
integrate.
There's the integrator. So there's the visionary, and then there's an integrator. If you go to, I think it's rocketfuelnow.com, there's actually a test that they give you, and it tells you exactly what your score is. And, I was a 95 on the visionary and a 54 on the implementer side because I get really burnt out when people aren't stepping up and right, so you have to get somebody that's really more of a steady Eddie, that they're super hands-on, and it's probably what you need. But you could probably hire somebody to do that integrator role that could also do other functions like a transaction coordinator and really good on the paperwork, right? Because you're buying a lot of subject to and a lot of creative deals, so you could get somebody to handle that role, but that same type of person will be very good in other functions. And what I would do if I were you is I wouldn't hire the office manager. I would start off by hiring somebody to fill a particular function and allow them to expand after they've proven themselves over 60 to 90 days in the integrator role. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Kill two birds with one stone.
I'm the rock star that I can grow up.
And the other thing that Chris and I are doing is we actually are writing the job description on the front end and put people through an application process. And for everything that we do, that's real helpful.
I love Chris's executive assistant ad.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Great job. That was fantastic. Matter of fact,
this
I told Nora to copy that down. I'm going to use it if you don't mind.
In fact, for everybody, an example of that, this is not done yet, fact, Chris, you have to do the editing because I think you were supposed to have that done yesterday for me. But if you go to reivault.com/integrator, reivault.com/integrator, you will see the one that I wrote, and there's an application. And the application is pretty crazy extensive of the questions that we ask. There's problem-solving questions. And then we've posted that on Craigslist. We've gone to Upwork. There's a great website called Upwork.com. It's got tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people for different types of roles, VAs, marketing stuff. You know, you need a little video or need a professional credibility kit or whatever. You can have all that built there for cheap.
Nice.
And we post that stuff everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
You're going to hire that person for REI Vault, not necessarily for the real estate acquisition side of your model,
well,
correct?
I'll tell you what I'm trying to – so I'm following the same thing I just told you. So as an example, I'm actually hiring somebody to build a new customer support website for all of us. So this is actually going to be more of a if you read that job description, I'll be really hiring somebody to come in as a client fulfillment manager, a liaison between Chris and I and the support staff, and we're going to build a new totally tricked out support site. So rather than people just sending emails, we're going to give them a very formal place to get their questions answered and a live chat so you have real-time access and a lot more frequently asked questions and then change requests. So I'm going to bring that person in who's going to be super hands-on building that with the idea if they're any good, right, and they're fast and smart, then we'll move them into more of an integrator role. You know, we're trying to build out the pay-per-click. Chico and I are trying to build out a new pay-per-click offer. We're trying to put together live events for all of us. We actually want to have 3 to 4 live events a year, bring the REI Vault community together in a masterminding sort of format, advanced training, and also an opportunity for people to meet and collaborate and connect, right? So in order to do that, we just need to have more people that can actually be, you know, full-time really engaged in getting those activities done. We want to build all the autoresponder marketing so that, you know, once you get a seller on the phone or a buyer on the phone and you capture their email address, we want to automate all the email follow-up and have that.
Yeah, that's very valuable to me, very important to me. As a matter of fact, I was going to start working on that. So I'm glad you're going to do it.
Yeah, so that's what we're hiring for, somebody to do that. And with the idea, again, that once they prove themselves, you know, you bring somebody in, give them a very specific series of tasks for 60 days and make the decision. There's not a gray area. It needs to be a yes or a no. And if it's a maybe, fire them. Right? Yep. And recruit. Just constantly be recruiting. As soon as you hire that person, start hiring for their replacement. That's my recommendation. Good. And keep them on their toes.
Great. All right. Well, thank you much, guys. I appreciate that.
Perfect.
Thanks, Steve.
Excellent. If you got a question and you want us to bring you into the call, you can press *5. And if we don't have any more questions, then we'll work towards closing out the call today. Anything else you want to add, Chris?
You know, I was going to just add something that I read or I listened to the other day. You know, it's interesting. So I was, as you come into the year, you know, we're all kind of looking at what we want the year. You know, we look at, you know, what happened last year and what do we want to happen this year. And so we set goals. And as an aside, you know, it's funny because I'm always listening and reading. And I'm always this is something I listen to while I was at my daughter's acting class. Every Saturday I take both of my kids to acting class, not because we want them to be actors, but just for them to be more outgoing. And so every Friday night I sit down and I list out the items that I'm going to listen to or what the stuff I'm going to read when I'm at the class, because I know. I want to just be mindful of, you know, of my time. So this one in particular, you know, sitting down kind of writing in my journal and thinking about goals, and a couple of things that I wrote down in my notes. And this particular person was saying that, you know, he talked about motivation, right? So if you pick a goal, if you have a goal in mind, or you have a project or whatever the endeavor is that you want to do, that if you don't feel that you have the motivation, like if you struggle with motivation, then his opinion is that you have the wrong goal, because the right goal is always going to spur motivation. And to always remember that the achievement of the goal is always short-lived. You know, you think about you want to get X, and you get that X, and then, you know, you're excited and happy, maybe. And then all of a sudden now, you know, the desire just kind of wanes, or the happiness just kind of goes away. And so then, you know, you have to think about the fact that the pursuit of the goal is really where you find your bliss, and that the right goal is going to stimulate action, and it's going to motivate you to move forward. And if you don't have the motivation, then that is a sign that you potentially have the wrong goal. Now, he said, which I thought was insightful. This is the part that I thought was insightful, because at one point this author was confused about what he wanted. Like, he couldn't figure out what he wanted to do. And so because he couldn't figure out what he wanted to do, then what he did is he did nothing. He just kind of said, I'm not going to do anything until I figure out what I want to do. And then when I finally figure out what I want to do, then I'll do it, and then I'll move forward on things. And he said, that's really is a huge problem. And he said the goal is less important than the action it stimulates. So again, the goal is less important than the action it stimulates. The goal has to get you out of bed. The outcomes that get you moving are the outcomes that you should choose. So in other words, he says, what he's saying is that, you know, again, coming back to the goal is less important than the action it stimulates, and you have to find motivation in that which you decide that you want to pursue. Otherwise, maybe it's not the thing you should pursue, and that the outcomes is what you should be going for. So the you have to be okay many times that the goal may not be that which you want long term. And this is what he said, you know, you can agree or disagree, but he said that you have to be okay with the fact that sometimes the goal you choose may not be sure that's the goal that you really want long term. But it's what you want today, and it's what motivates you to take action today. So rather than doing nothing, you're better off in doing what gets you motivated to take action and move forward. And that's really, to him, that's what counts, because the goal of any outcome or goal is motivation. If you lack motivation, then you really have to think about is that the right goal. That was his advice, is that that you only judge your goals if they trigger action. And you pick a goal that you want enough today that triggers you to take action and removes you from the sidelines and gets you moving in a particular direction. So anyway, I thought I'd share that with you, because that, to me, nothing, you know, again, everything we've heard before.
I would and say, okay, well, what was your goal, and what motivation did it stimulate?
Well, you know, I tell you, I'll answer this, and this is interesting. So I don't know if I maybe mentioned to you, or I know certainly you guys would know this, is that I right now you can't buy my virtual wholesaling course, right? So we've had customers email and say, hey, I want to buy the course. Where is it? You know, where's the link? And I just kind of took the whole thing offline. And part of that is because I just wasn't motivated to do anything with it. So, you know, my product, you know, I'm known for virtual wholesaling, needs to be redone. I got to do videos. I got to think about maybe a new way of presenting it. And I just don't have the motivation to do it. I don't have the desire to do it. And so even though somebody might say, hey, that's a goal that you take and you create an info product and you sell it and you make money from it, it is, but it isn't really a goal for me if, in fact, it doesn't stimulate action. What does stimulate action, for me at least for the time being, is actually I want to be able to, and this is why that, ad that Steve mentioned was that he saw. I put out an ad for an executive assistant, more like a right-hand person to help me, but that person is geared for more toward local person to help me in the real estate. So I'm more motivated to focus on the real estate, do more deals, get the right people in place. And so whether or not long-term info business, I don't know. Long-term real estate, I don't know. But in the end, it's really the real estate is what I'm motivated to do now. And so in essence, I just decided to do that. And so that's an example of kind of that process that he laid out. And I just said, you know, I'm not really motivated to do the info business. And so I just kind of took the course offline. And we just, like today, we got a couple emails from people saying, hey, I want to buy your course, but where is it? And the answer is not right now. I don't want the mental overhead associated with that. And so, so that's an example of that. And so I created this ad. That's the one that Steve Carlson mentioned for an assistant in order to find, you know, the right-hand person to help me with that. But that's an example, Gary, of that process and me looking at that, those two things and seeing, hey, what am I really motivated to do? And so I say this because you all have various things that you're focusing on your real estate business, obviously, but there's a lot of variety of different things inside of that business. And maybe that's a filter that you can use when you're faced with a decision and trying to decide what to do, what not to do, what to do first, et cetera. Maybe just go with what you feel is going to motivate you to take action today. And use that as a gauge to determine where you go next. So anyway, for what it's worth, that's what I wanted to share. The other thing I wanted to share.
That's awesome. It looks like, I think it's Justin. You want to bring Justin?
Justin, yeah. Justin.
Gentlemen, how are you?
I'm good.
Happy New Year.
Thanks. Same to you guys. I envision some dude somewhere in Topeka, Kansas, huddled, crying, thinking, why won't Chris teach me how to flip cell phones, properties such as a cell phone and a laptop? And you have ruined the guy's 2016, but more power to you, buddy.
Well, I'll add this before you ask your question. To add salt. Imagine that he's gone through the whole funnel and he's watched all my videos and he's gotten all my pitches and finally I just got him over the edge and he just says, yes, I finally want to buy it. And he goes to his computer and he can't buy it. That would be a
Justin, Justin, what Chris didn't tell you is the massive number of emails that he gets of people asking questions that are brutal. Because when you've been doing, like all of us are doing deals, right, and we're talking about, hey, a seller fell through, and how do we, like, what do we do, and the strategy, and then somebody's saying a question like, can I, you know, my laptop doesn't work, and I can't figure out how to get to this particular link. You know what I mean?
I told
Chico, I said, you know, hire somebody.
I'm using Internet Explorer.
Give it away for free.
Yeah. Internet Explorer, and I can't get the videos to play, but I need somebody to call me. Hopefully that's not any of you here, but anyway,
go ahead.
And then
hate messages. If you don't get an answer within an hour, hate messages of, right. you know, whatever. I said, give it away for free.
No, giving it away for free is problematic, but go ahead, Justin.
So my questions today are centered around the dashboard that has been built and the KPIs, and I'm going to ask my questions, and if you want to tell me, just take it offline and go through support, I can.
Yeah.
But just been doing a lot of planning here for 2016, getting pumped up, trying to sort of looking at our numbers from what we did last year and reverse engineering and seeing how much we need to spend on mail to get us to that next level. I'm doing everything manually right now in Excel, and I think that part of the problem might be that I'm just not doing the stuff in Podio correctly. Are all of the things in Podio built out for me to measure leads per contract, average deal size, and cost per lead? Is that there today, or is that something where I need to
cost per lead? Cost per call, cost per viable lead, and cost per signed contract are all there.
Okay.
The deal side of when you are entering your profits,
yep.
And getting your true ROI is not.
Yep.
And there is and this is where I love your help and other people on the dashboard. Everybody on this call, everybody should have access to be able to get a monthly dashboard of your numbers. If you don't see deal dashboard in Podio, then you should send an email so you get it. Everybody should have the deal dashboard. There's a 1 minute video, actually a little longer, but on how to order a deal dashboard. It's literally one click of a button, and within 24 to 48 hours, you get a dashboard. What I like is, what other stuff do you want to enhance? Because we are gonna upgrade the deal dashboard and add more data and more metrics. But I actually need, I don't want to do it in four phases. I really want the feedback, and I haven't gotten that much feedback of what people want. So if you tell me what you want, some of it we may be able to give to you pretty quick, Justin, and have you kind of on the front end of a beta, right? Of an early release. And some of it we may already have. So, but I just need real clarity as to exactly what data you're trying to get. What would be helpful? Like, I'll give you an example. We do have on the roadmap to be built and added to the dashboard is to know where the deals are coming from in terms of, you know, you close a deal and you want to know, did they call, did that deal come off the third postcard or the second or the fifth, right? And also how many follow-ups went out, or did they come from an offer? You know, so you have more data specifically around the marketing. And actually, if we could plug in the email autoresponders, it would be even stronger, right? So I just,
yeah.
just need the feedback. There's also an estimating tool that has been built where you could take this, and if you're trying to do your calculations as an example, and I'm not going to throw this out to everybody, but I'll do it with you, and maybe we could do a kind of a post-mortem on this in a few weeks. But if we already have your numbers, right, your response rate, your cost per call, lead, and viable lead, et cetera, I do have a model where we could plug that data into a tool, figure out your average profit per deal, and figure out what your marketing budget should be. So instead
right.
of you having to build it, there's probably the most complicated spreadsheet ever built. It's been in development for over 10 years. But I have that, and we could actually use it for yours, and then maybe use it. You know, I haven't wanted to release it because of the amount of training. You can configure anything. I mean, you can have all the way down to bandit signs and TV ads, and all the different types of marketing you want to do, and then figure out your budget and profit all the way down to the staff, like how many calls per week your team should be working, how many follow-ups they should be doing, how many offers they should be sending out. You can plug in the cost for your staff.
Yeah.
If we have that. So I'd be more than happy if you can send an email to support. Actually, on this
so
one.
So you want me to start a ticket? Because, Gary, I'm even at a point where I'm so remedial, like, in terms of what I'm doing in Podio right now. It's phenomenal for marketing. We're doing
yeah.
zippy with it to track our business. So I don't even know, for example, if I got 123 Main Street, the second it closes and the wire comes in and I got the check, I don't even know where I go to enter in the profit amount to give
deal.
You guys the
deal.
So I have to go into the deals button?
You click on the deal. There's a couple of videos that Chris recorded. Click on deal. It'll ask you to select that seller. So there's a link between the lead and that deal. It's very simple. It's just a relationship. All pre-built. You don't have to, it's not real complicated, but you have to select that particular seller, and then it'll ask you for all the metrics. It'll ask you for your profit, what the purchase price was, what your resale price was.
So, hold on. You've already lot. Do I need to go into the seller record first?
No. Go to deal.
Okay.
When you log into Podio.
Yeah, I see deals across the top, so I click deals.
Yep. Click on
deals. And then
fill it out. So there's an add a deal. You click add a deal. By the way, there is
yeah.
a video on this. The very first thing says seller, and it'll come up with the list of sellers. Those sellers are from the lead.
Got it. Okay, so what I can is I need to start there, key in all the deals.
Yeah.
And then yep. from there. Okay.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately for right now, that data does not show up on the deal dashboard. It will not calculate accurately your ROI. It'll be blank in the deal dashboard because I have not had that set up. And the reason we didn't have it set up is because most people were not using the deal module.
Right. Well, we haven't, but I think it's time for us to start now based on where we want to get this year.
Yeah.
And so on the deal dashboard, I'm assuming we should only be putting in REI Vault deals, or should we be putting in every deal?
I'd put in every deal. I'd put in every deal. I'd put in every lead, too. The idea is to get your leads into Podio.
Okay.
If you've got, it's not going to screw anything up because in seller leads, at the very bottom of every lead, you'll see a few fields that they start with VM. That means voicemail. And that you don't want to change that. That is pre-populated, and that tracks where the lead came from. So if it's coming from the marketing, it'll say, you know, shock and awe campaign. And so that stuff is really important. But you
okay.
can actually create a lead and just leave that blank. Or, you know, down the road, let's say you were going to do some other kinds of marketing. And I don't want to get crazy here. There's some videos on this. But let's say you wanted to do Bandit Time. Or let's say you wanted to get a website or Craigslist ad. You could get a phone number from us. And then all of a sudden those leads would be set up to go right into Podio.
Okay.
An opportunity to do a lot of that.
Okay, so I'm going to key the deals in, and then I'll start a ticket with support, and hopefully they can walk me through
yeah.
what I'm looking for. My other, and then Gary, just real quickly, I'm sure you saw an email from Chris this morning, if you could take a look and check that out. And then my last question is, what do you guys have, if anything, for job posting / description / interview questions for acquisitions guy? Anything, or am I on my own here?
Chico, you?
And if the answer is I'm on my own, that's fine. I'd rather just not reinvent the wheel if I don't have to.
I think Chris has it.
Yeah, I have something. I have something that I had been fiddling around with. When you look at the place and ad,
I'd like to do it in the next 30 days.
Oh no, okay. So yeah, in a couple of days, I will have I'll have the ad finished. So I'm just kind of looking. It's on my. I've been working on it. I have a kind of.
That's fine. There's no rush. And then I guess the only
yeah.
other question I had outside the nuts and bolts of the actual ad and the interviewing and all that stuff, have you guys created a compensation plan that you like, that you've gotten from somebody else, that you've tested, that makes sense for everybody?
I have been toying around with that because part of that is So I did the assistant ad first. So what I'm trying to make sure that I deliberately separate the roles. So I want to see how much can I get an assistant to do of that process, and then in the end, what is that leftover piece that goes into the acquisition manager? So then that way I can isolate that. I mean, for me, the number that kind of from that seems to be that what a lot of guys are doing are somewhere, you know, if you think about an acquisition side and a sales side, a lot of people have that number threshold of 25% to 30% total for both positions. So if you have the one position might be 10% to 15%, and then the other position, the disposition of the properties, dealing with the buyers and everything else might be the same, 10 or 15% either way, depending on how much work there is. So that's kind of like the numbers that I've been toying with, but it also depends on your market. You know, if you're in a market where obviously the fees are higher
you may be able to get away with less, but I don't know. That's kind of like the general consensus from quite a few people that I spoke with.
Yeah, I mean, in our market, the acquisitions guy needs the brain, the charisma, the training, the whole nine yards. The dispositions guy is a pretty, not to disrespect anybody, but a pretty menial task. It's not that hard. These things sell themselves.
Yeah, so I would just be, you know, the thing you have to do is,
But you're saying overall, very roughly, between acquisitions and dispositions, it needs to be about 25 to 30% of gross profit.
Yeah.
That gross spread. Okay. That's it. So we're excited to do big things this year and looking forward, hopefully, like you had mentioned, if we can get REI Vault in-person thing, I think that would be great.
Yeah. I saw your text in the email from Chris. My delay, I thought I was going to have it done before Maui, but I don't think there's going to be any reason why I can't have it set up for you guys by Friday, if not sooner, for her to be playing around. I may be able to get something in place for her just to start playing around with it within the next. I have about 30 minutes worth of work. I don't have anybody. I have to do it. So that's
okay.
The hold up.
But perfect.
Be pretty close. And there's going to be some feedback from her necessary before you guys really ramp it up.
Okay. Well, we're ready to go, and Feb 1st would probably be a perfect date to have it launch the Death Star. So,
awesome, man.
Okay,
well, great.
That's it. Thank you for your time.
Okay, we're a little over the hour, Chris, and so any final departing words?
I've said enough on this call. I will leave it at that.
All right, everybody. If you have any, if you need any help, always email support at REIVault.com. That would be the preferred email, or support at sellteamlive.com. I think it's easier. You don't have to type so much. At REI Vault. And if you have any feedback, recommendations, things that you need, enhancements, whatever it might be, always email suggestion box at REIVault.com. We're always looking for what to add to make this more money and better for all of us. So we love your feedback. Everything that we do is based on your feedback. Have a great week. Talk to you next
Thanks.
Week. Chris, I won't be – you'll be on the call next week. I will not. I'll be skiing.
Okay.
All right. See you
no
guys.
No problem. All right.